This is the Texas Standard. I'm Joy Diaz in for David Brown. I want to ask you something. What were your thoughts when President Trump appointed John Bolton as his national security advisor? Bolton, of course, replaced H.R. McMaster, and I'll tell you what Josh Schifrinson thought. Or more exactly, I'll tell you what he felt. He felt worried. Josh Schifrinson teaches U.S. foreign relations and international security at Texas A&M's Bush School of Government and Public Policy. Josh, welcome back to The Standard.
Thank you so much. It's wonderful to be here.
You wrote something really fascinating about John Bolton's appointment. And you say that, like you, many analysts express concern about his militant rhetoric and his hawkish approach to foreign policy. So I love the list that you did, and I want to tackle it. Let's start with the first thing that you wrote. You say that the U.S. has no matching rival, really, and that's worrisome.
Yes. One of the core insights people who study international relations have is that when you're the only big country around, when you're the unipole, when you're the hegemon like the U.S., you end up not paying a lot of costs for engaging in militant, even aggressive, dangerous behaviors.
And could you elaborate a little bit on that? Because a lot of people may think, well, we've been fighting the war for 15 years. We've paid a price.
Oh, we absolutely have. And I don't want to minimize the financial cost or the toll in human lives, both overseas as well as to our service members. Mm. What I'm trying to say is when we think back to what else could have happened, if other big powers had been around, they could have helped arm some of the militants to a greater degree than some of the even local countries did. They could have tried to take advantage of American attention being diverted. They could have said to the U.S., hey, if you get involved in this country, we're going to come after you and arm someone else, which would have caused the U.S. to step back and think about it.
The other thing that you say is that having someone like Bolton worries you because individual U.S. leaders have enormous power on foreign policy. Can you elaborate on why that's worrisome?
Going back to the idea of the U.S. as an unrivaled country, that means the decision to get involved in the affairs of other countries, to act overseas, hinges heavily on the attitudes and preferences of different American leaders. You know, it took Bill Clinton wanting to expand NATO, for example, that led the U.S. to move into Eastern Europe. It took Clinton being interested in Bosnia or Kosovo to get engaged in humanitarian intervention. It took W. Bush being interested in Iraq and the form of the Afghanistan campaign to shape the American intervention in those countries. When the U.S. is unrivaled in this manner, individual leaders, usually in the Oval Office, have a lot of influence over foreign policy. And at this day and age, with someone like Trump, who is inexperienced and perhaps sometimes reacts to things differently than standard American leaders, that means that the people he surrounds himself with play a very big role in shaping his attitude, shaping the information, shaping the ideas coming to him.
The third thing that you say is that the U.S.'s dominant power does not mean supremacy is absolute.
Well, we have to remember that over the last 25 years or so, American advantages in economic affairs and diplomacy, even in security regions in some smaller fashion, have been whittled down. They haven't been overturned, but they've been whittled down by countries like China and Brazil, India, Russia, rising countries.
Yeah, I mean, the U.S. is still it, right?
U.S. is still it, but it's not what it used to be, is the point. Mm. This is worrisome because historically there is a trend where countries that see their relative advantages and relative comparative advantage waning in certain areas resort to their strengths in other areas to compensate. And in the U.S. case, the overwhelming area of American advantage is military power. And so if I was truly worried about this over the long term, I would expect to see that as American economic and political and diplomatic advantages wane over time, don't get overturned, but wane a little bit, we see the U.S. resorting more and more to force when challenges emerge. We already see that the resort to force is one thing the U.S. tends to do when faced with a foreign conflict, but we would expect to see the trend becoming even more noticeable in the future.
Josh Schifrinson teaches U.S. foreign relations and international security at Texas A&M's Bush School of Government and Public Policy. Josh, thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you so much for having me.
And you're listening to the Texas Standard.